translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses, like aroma, by smelling, the palate, by tasting, vision, by seeing, forms, touch, by contacting, the vibrations of the ear, by the ethereal identification, and the sense organs, by material activities. Purport. Beyond the sky, there are subtle coverings, resembling the elementary coverings of the universes. The gross coverings are a development of the partial ingredients of the subtle causes. So a yogi or a devotee, along with liquidation of the gross elements, relinquishes the subtle causes like aroma by smelling. The pure spiritual spark, the living entity, thus becomes completely cleansed of all material contamination to become eligible for the entrance into the kingdom of God. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Salak Chakshu Om Milatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurai Nama Vanchakopatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Bhavanabheo Vaishnavabheo Namo Namaha. So, Namah Vishnu Badaya Krishna Sahibhut Shmakti Bhagavi Yanga Swamniti Namane Namah Vishnu Krishna Sahibhut Ali Shmakti Bhakti Dhanta Swamniti Namane. So eventually, on this projected control of the yogi, he's reached through the outer coverings in the previous verse of the he's reached there, and he's now, his meditation goes beyond that. It's a self-perpetuated, you could say, a meditation from the heart that actually is seen by the Lord and grants him permission to fulfill that desire of breaching the outer covering of the material universe. And so, very interesting. This is something that we should understand too. For me, it's through Bhagavad Gita. You know, if you look at chapter 6 of this of Bhagavad Gita, he goes through a process, but also in chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 1, I think it's all 2, maybe 2. I'll just read you this, an answer to a question of Arjun, which is better. Arjun inquired, which are better, more perfect, those who properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, or the unmanifested? Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those whose minds are fixed on my lotus form, always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith, are considered to be the most perfect. Then he gives a reason that those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses, being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. But it says, Prabhupada says in there, in the translation of text 5, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature, to the supreme advancement, is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always very difficult for those who are embodied. But what we've got here, that he's actually, his subtle consciousness is now traveling through the layers of the material universe, and it's reached a point where he can then travel into the spiritual world of his own control, seemingly. But again, it's that desire of the Lord that permits him, his desires that permits him to travel further on. Now, the only danger with this, it's a path that, like on a journey, Prabhupada says, where the devotees, they're all on the same boat. They're trying to get to the Supreme Absolute Truth. But some of them, on that journey, they stop off at different ports, and decide to get off at this port, which may be the heavenly planet, it may be the impersonal Brahman, or whatever. But there is danger there, because they may not continue on that journey. That those ports, they may find attractive, so they stay in the material world. The attractiveness of demigod worship, fulfilling happiness and happiness by still being in the material world, but achieving gross happiness of the gross senses or intelligence. Now, that's one aspect. So it's a dangerous path to tread, and we could say it's impossible. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he's brought us another sound vibration, and in his talks with, I think, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he talks about the this journey, Bhakti Lata Beach, where the sound vibration eventually penetrates through to the spiritual world by the simple process of the Harinam Sankirtan. And so this is the devotees and devotional service. Devotional service, actually, for the devotee, is the goal. He says, Lord Chaitanya speaks, he says, Natahanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavitam Vajagat Ishakamaye Mamma Janmani Janmani Ishvara Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahetuki Tivaye. He says there that I don't want wealth, I don't want beautiful women, I don't want followers, I don't want money. All I want is your causeless devotional service. And then he says, birth after birth. Now, what he did, I found an old letter. It's to Saradia. And it's a wonderful letter because it's asking certain questions to Prabhupada about the process of Krishna in the heart, and also, why Arjuna and Kunti Devi stay in the material world? So he says, "Dear Saradhya, please accept my blessings. I am in due receipt of your recent letter and I have noted the contents with pleasure. Your kind thoughts which you expressed are very nice and encouraging to me. Also, you've asked some intelligent questions and I am answering them here. You have asked how Krishna is with the spirit soul in the spiritual world." So that's an interesting question we should contemplate. How is Krishna with the spiritual, Krishna is with the spirit soul in the spiritual world? And the answer is that Krishna is the heart, in the heart of the spirit soul or spiritual body. So this is another thing. So he's in the heart, also in the spiritual world of the spirit soul. And so Krishna never is apart from us. Either he remains in the heart of the material body, or he remains in the heart of the spiritual body. This is Krishna's causeless mercy to all his beloved children or living entities. So we should know, then this contradicts when it says that the super soul, Shiro Dakshai Vishni, in this world, is a temporary manifestation. But it is. Shiro Dakshai Vishnu is not the super soul we're talking about that accompanies the spirit soul in the heart. He's smaller than the smallest. He's there. And so having come to this world, he is like the cement of the material agnostria that puts it all together and fulfills the desires of the covered spirit soul. So it's another manifested form to facilitate in the material universe of the super soul. Likewise, we can understand who is super soul. We should know that Mahavishnu is also super soul, an expansion of Krishna, but in the spiritual world. And from him come all the material universes. And then when we know that, then there's Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, Chiro Dakshai Vishnu, that actually, that these are also expansions of the super soul. Chiro Dakshai Vishnu is the facilitating super soul of the covered living entity in this world. So to understand this super soul tattva, we should know that there's also a super soul observing all the service and desires of the souls in the spiritual world. He's there with them constantly. So, you know, I posed the question to myself, okay, how did they leave the spiritual world then? How did, they desire to come thing? It must be only the super soul in the spiritual world that sees the desire of the soul that wants to have a playground and see what it's like, an enjoyer, to fulfill his fantasy. And in the Sandarbhas and the Paramatma Sandarbha, it talks about this super soul, the one that observes in the spiritual world, and how somehow or other he's picked up this independent nature of the soul. So we should understand. But The interesting part is, in the Bhagavad Gita it says, you'll never fall again into such illusion by this. Once you know this knowledge of your soul and your position with Krishna, you'll leave this world. And you'll realize your identity. And you will go back. But you'll never come back again. There's a lesson to be learned. And I remember Prabhupada on one of his morning walks. He said, Prabhupada, is there a possibility, even though that the spirit soul, having learned his lesson, would come back again? He says, there is always minute independence. So please understand that even though he may have learned a lesson, it may not. The possibility is always there. The soul, by its own minute independence, may come back to this world. So what we should understand is that our desires, they're like a sort of a dream to distinguish reality from illusion for the welfare of all. That's what it says in this first text in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to learn to distinguish reality from illusion, and that's for the welfare of everybody. So we should want to go back to Godhead, but we should understand also that super soul is in the spiritual world. How else did he learn of our wanting to be independent of him? So he's actually understanding what's going on, and he sends us to this place, this material agnostria, through his other super souls, and Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Shirodakshai Vishnu, that into this world to fulfill our desires. So it sounds pretty complex, and it is really complex. But then it says, to answer your second question, you should know that Kunti Devi, Arjuna and Kunti Devi, are not in Krishna Loka. They are eternally associated with Krishna only in the material world. Just like Krishna is always in the spiritual world, so similarly, he is always in the material world, and his pastimes are going on there eternally. In the material world, Krishna also has eternal associates, such as Arjuna and Kunti Devi. They stay with him in the material world, wherever he is in that universe. And then he says, there's a difference between the body and soul of Arjuna and Kunti Devi. But although Arjuna is with Krishna in innumerable different material universes at one time, still there's only one spirit soul who is Arjuna. So it's an amazing thing he reveals here. The spirit soul expands into many different bodies. Thus you can understand that there are also incarnations of devotees as well as there are incarnations of Krishna. So wherever Krishna is appearing in different universes, Arjuna, by his expansions, is also appearing in that material world with Krishna. This is the power of the spirit soul, that it is unlimited. Such a conception cannot be understood while one is still in the conditioned state. So it seems that also that the soul can be expanded for Krishna's service wherever he is in the material existence in different universes at the same time. So not only does Krishna have his expansions, the devotees of Queen Kunti and Arjuna have expanded themselves in different universes. Now, this is why I say there is some confusion about the soul and the super soul. There's that one that is with the spirit in the spiritual world, and there's the one in the material world that facilitates material existence, but also the pastimes of Krishna in the material existence, still trying to rescue all the errant souls and take them back to Godhead. So it's quite a complex thing, but when I found this letter, it was amazing why Queen Kunti and Arjuna want to stay in the material world. They want to be here birth after birth. That fulfills what that fourth verse says in the Shikshakstakam. They don't care where they are. As long as they're with Krishna, that's their first service. Wherever he may be, they're not after the liberation of going back to the spiritual world. Their spiritual world is their love for Krishna, wherever he is. No matter what happens to them, they experience under yoga maya this loving relationship in the material world still continuing. So I don't know if this sort of answers the question, but the yogi that's trying to penetrate, he's different. He's not actually trying to penetrate by his, as it is stated here. He goes through, stage by step, through the universe to get to the spiritual world by meditating on passing through the sensual layer, the subtle layer, and the gross layer. And that meditation carries him through to the spiritual world. But it's a very gradual process. Considering that we have this Lord Chaitanya's mercy by staying, by actually going with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan and having our original spiritual identity with him revealed. So it's a very special age because it's only once in a millennium we get this chance to be with Lord Chaitanya's movement, which was only 500 years ago, to get back to the spiritual world. And we got to really grab it because that's 1,000 cycles of the yugas, 1 millennium, when Krishna comes. And then we have to wait around, or not wait around. Depends, you know. It depends. And it goes through on this particular chapter. It shows the only thing that threatens us is our envy and offenses to devotees. That's the only thing that can stop us going back to the spiritual world. So it talks about that in later verses in this particular chapter. So there's much to consider, but I tackled it from the point of the soul and the super soul and their different variations, whether it be in the spiritual world or the material world, facilitating the material desires of the errant, or you know, the naughty boys, like a facilitating a playpen to which they can exist in different forms, even as grass, trees, ants, birds, all that's there, facilitated. until we go get to the human form of life. So it's a very special form of human life. We have to make sure that we do as Krishna says. Our minute independence is there. And by desire we came here in this world, but by desire we leave it. And so we have to develop this desire by studying and hearing, chanting, associating with devotees, serving the devotees, to take us back to the spiritual world where we learn real family life. We're trying to learn it in the material existence. And it's a troublesome path for those who are conditioned by the modes of material nature. So those of you who are so advanced, and I see them here, they're like special, they're holding a beacon for us and helping us back to the spiritual world. For those spirit souls that are advanced that we associate with here at the manor or anywhere else, you know, in this world, the Swamis, ISKCON Swamis, you know, Chaitanya Mat Swamis, they're all trying to get the suffering jivas back to the world of their home, back to Godhead. So, I'm sorry about my lateness, and sorry it was to get the thing. So, Taruna, where's that sheet? Oh yeah, thank you. So also today is, I think, a disappearance of Sharanga Thakur. And I got here from the internet, from ISKCON Desire Tree, his place in Lord Chaitanya's movement. He says, an important branch of Sri Chaitanya Tree, Sri Sharanga Thakur, and lived in Mamagachi, in Modruma Deep, Navadeep, staying under a bakula tree. Sharanga Thakur worked very hard every day to please his worshipful deity. Single-handedly, he would collect fruits, vegetables, firewood. He would also beg rice, cook, bathe and dress and feed the Lord. After a full day of deity service, Sharanga would cross the Ganges River to join Mahaprabhu's Harinam Sankirtan party in Mayapur. During one visit, Lord Gauranga noticed that Sharanga's beloved bakula tree was drying up and almost dead. Lord Chaitanya embraced the tree with his beautiful golden arms. Completely rejuvenated, the tree burst forth with green leaves and fresh and fragrant flowers. To this day, devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worship this special Kalpa Vriksha tree of Sri Dham Mayapur. Some devotees collect small pieces of the wood which occasionally fall off and make neck beads or worship it. Sharanga Thakur vowed he would never initiate disciples despite Lord Chaitanya's insistence. One day he relented and decided to initiate the first person he saw. So while bathing in the Ganges, he brushed against a floating corpse. Suddenly, it sprang to life. Stunned, a man slowly identified himself and bowed down to Sharanga Thakur, who had just miraculously renewed his life. After giving him mantra, diksha, Sharanga Thakur became famous as Sharanga Murari Thakur because the disciple's previous name was Murari. In the Vrajalila, Saranga serves Radha Gopinath in the Nandamukhi Sakhi Nandamukhi Sakhi by taking a 45-minute rickshaw ride from the downtown Navadeep. You can still see the deities of Sarangi Thakur and the Kalpa Vriksha Bakula tree. Then it says, during one visit, Lord Garanga noticed Saranga's beloved Bakula tree was drying up and almost dead. Oh, sorry. That's it. I think that's repeated what's... Yeah. So that's Sarangi Thakur, most unusual person. And he gave diksha to a revived corpse. And because that was his vow, the next person he meets. So it's unusual, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of which we are party to by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, his dear follower and devotee of his following the instruction of his spiritual master to give us this, you could say, inconceivable pastimes of the Lord when he came to this world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is special mercy. So we should be thankful to these special souls like Sri Taranga Thakur, Sri Taranga Thakur, Maharaj Ki Jai. So any comments or questions on what I said? But when you find these old letters of Prabhupada, how he gives us this amazing information in these early letters, you know, about how and why Arjuna and Kunti stay in this material world. They don't care where they serve him. Yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Comments, yeah, questions, it's good. Yeah. So can you say again?
As one becomes a devotee,
yeah,
there's no more super soul, it's Krishna directly who manifests.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what Vishnu Chakri Thakur says.
Yeah.
So from that it seems like super soul doesn't exist in the spiritual, Krishna is directly there.
Yeah, and that's true. And also in Bhagavad Gita he says the super soul and I are one, I being Krishna. He's speaking those words. Are one. So we should know that actually these, and I was looking at the tattva, how that Narayan is maintaining the material world, in the mode of goodness. And he's the worshipful Guna avatar, Narayan. And so all Vaishnavas should worship not the Guna avatars, Shiva and Brahma, but they should worship Narayan, in this world, which is Vishnu Tattva. We worship only Vishnu Tattva. And that's something to consider and understand too. So these, you know, like you were saying there, Srinivas. Yeah. Krishna has expanded himself in so many ways in this world. But chapter 6, if you get a chance to read just the text on that, it's very wonderful. Because it says, you can't reject material things. They can be used in Krishna's service. You know, the real yogi, he uses everything in Krishna's service, as it is revealed in the Nectar of Devotion. You know, I'm trying to think of the verse. Oh, got it here somewhere, actually. Yeah. Yes, he says, maybe not. Yes, he says that actually Sarvopadi Vinimoktim Tapar Vena Nirmalam Ishikeshi Rishikeshi Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. You become free from the material designations, and one's senses become purified by being employed in the service of the Lord. So this is the real understanding, that this is what we're doing, not the way of a yogi trying to force himself, but it's by worship of the Lord that our service, our senses become purified. We're not trying to break through the barriers of the causal ocean other than by devotional service, and which takes us to Krishna. And it says, Prabhupada says, it's like our body. If we engage in devotional service, it becomes hotter and hotter, like a steel rod going into the fire of devotional service. It gets hotter, hotter, and the spirit then, or the soul and the body, become spiritualized by engaging in devotional service. So even at this moment, by hearing Bhagavatam, you're getting hotter and hotter by engaging hearing Bhagavatam, because it's Krishna himself. Okay. Any other points? Questions? Yes. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yeah. So you mentioned how someone gave diksha to a dead body, right? So it got me thinking. So when we sing in the morning, Janme Janme Prabhusi, he's my Lord, Master Birth after birth.
After birth, yeah.
So on the one hand, we seem to sort of think my spiritual master is eternal. He's the one person, and it's life after life. He'll keep coming back.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we might be thinking, well, maybe every time I come back, I get a new spiritual master with a new name, because Mother Spiritual Master's gone to the spiritual world anyway, and so I'm getting someone else that's new. And so should we think of ourselves as having many spiritual masters and we get many different names, or should we be thinking, my name is somehow special, it's the one name I've got for eternity, and my spiritual master's the only one for eternity?
Yeah, well, Prabhupada, he gave plenty of examples where he felt his spiritual master was speaking through others. You know, drunken doctor, you know, this sort of thing. Somebody who brings a toilet roll, you know, for their ashram, you know, at Matchless Gifts. He's doing service, and he was reminded that maybe we ought to get our act together in this. And he took it as guidance that these people who do certain things, they certainly are sort of a message from our own spiritual master. You know, certainly I can certainly feel that devotees here are telling me many messages to keep me on the path. And I take that as definitely my spiritual master is still trying to help me through anybody that's here now. And I think that's a good point. you know, and yeah, as you say, he's my Lord birth after birth. Yeah, it's, but we don't necessarily, he won't necessarily have that same body, but still he's there. But of course that's Balaram Tattva too, isn't it? You know how, he's, the Guru Tattva. And, so Guru is one. And, but he speaks through different bodies. You know, so you just gotta be receptive to think, oh, this is somebody giving me a message I to take on board. And it's not that person, you know. It's certainly, that's what was happening with, King Parachi when he put the snake round the neck of the thing. This was, out of his character. But it shows there, but during that chapter, that, that Incanto one there, that, that he considered that, that this was, he had to accept the curse as part of Krishna's plan. But also, it says, Prabhupada explains in the purport that, that his, overpowered senses to cause that, that offense to be, putting the snake around their neck was compelled by Krishna so that Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. So he's putting us all into different positions. And we can consider that actually Krishna's, everything comes from Krishna. We can't say it's that person speaking because they're at all, you know, it says in Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything of me, I'm never lost to him nor he's ever lost to me. We should understand that we're getting the mercy in different ways. Some of it's bitter mercy and some of it's sweet mercy. But it's all from Krishna because he's trying to get, bring us back by chastisement and by encouragement. Both are there. And we should understand we can only get this mercy from the devotees or somebody else who may not be a devotee. On the street, you know, I'm sure you've had people come up and tell you certain things, you know, and it makes us aware that of our responsibility of conveying the message of Krishna consciousness in every way we can, either through Harinams, Food for Life, whatever way we can, to bring this conditioned souls into all conditioned souls into the fold of ISKCON and Prabhupada's movement. So that's, there's so many avenues that were being used, and we should help each other in that way and not be so offended in such a way that, we, this is Vaishnava Aparad. It's not quite like that if you see it that way. It could be, but it may not be. You've got to understand what's behind it. And it's how you receive a message. And it's, what do they say? To be more tolerant than a tree devoid of all self-prestige and to give all respect to others and not expect any respect for ourselves. And that's the philosophy. That's a reality. We should understand that from these prayers by Shikshakstakam is telling us so many things. It's the essence, actually, of Mahaprabhu, the Shikshakstakam. We should try and live by it and not blame anybody else but ourselves. We're put into all these situations. Yeah, okay. Thank you. And I thank Taruna for his help. We were able to find out about this Sarangi Thakur. You know, it's very special. I appreciate that. So, anybody else? I think we've got to finish here. It's always there. Somebody? Oh, sorry, Matt. Apologies.
I don't know if it's wrong, but my understanding was like birth after birth, to be with the spiritual master is not an ordinary birth.
Yeah.
It's transcendental. So we may think, oh, you're taking an ordinary birth and, you know, suffering like birth, death, old age and disease, but that birth, janme Prabhu say, is to be with the spiritual master.
Yeah.
And that's on another level.
Yeah.
Transcendental.
And that's, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. To realize that it's not it's a process that we may come back, but still our spiritual master will come. But not necessarily in the form that we'll remember, even. It's a process that's all merciful. We won't lose that contact with Krishna through bhakti. And that's the essence. And I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, what does he say? Masujaha, a surrendered soul. Don't worry. That's an instruction, actually. Because if you worry, you don't believe what Krishna's saying. Because that's put in our calculation. You don't have to worry. He's telling you, you don't worry. It's an instruction. Though we do. I do. I'm a spiritual worrier. Not warrior. But okay, thank you. Thank you for your kind attendance and attention. But it is a fantastic letter which reveals so much about the Super Soul here and elsewhere. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.